We're going to be in Titus, the second chapter. Really looking forward to continuing to work through this book. It's ministered to my heart. I hope it has for you. We're going to look at three through five today in Titus 2. Titus 2, verses 3 through 5. I want to read those, and then we'll begin to talk about them. Titus 2, verse 3. Older women, likewise, are to be reverent in their behavior, not malicious gossips, nor enslaved to much wine, teaching what is good, so that they may encourage the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be sensible, pure, workers at home, kind, being subject to their own husbands, so that the word of God will not be dishonored. Loving Father, we thank you for the privilege of coming together today to stand in awe of you, to rejoice in the fact that we've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. We acknowledge that we stand before you as those who need to hear from you today. You've answered prayer in marvelous ways in this past week. For that, we give you praise. We have great need going forward. For that, we would ask your favor. Thank you for each that have come into this place, all those who are online. We are grateful for that. We pray that you would speak to us in our need. I pray that you would use us, however you would be pleased, to make a difference for Jesus Christ in this world. We've got some things coming up. We've got a big outreach, the Wild Game Dinner. You're aware of that. We need things to fall into place. This is bigger than us. It's more than we can do. And we ask your grace for that. We pray that you would bring into this building for that day, for that night, those that would hear the gospel and would respond to that gospel invitation and trust Christ as Savior. Father, if that would happen, we would give you praise. For today, we ask that you would minister your word. We are so thankful to have it, to be able to gaze into it and see you and see your son and see what it is that you would like from us. I pray we'd humble ourselves in this moment. Father, help me as I speak, as I proclaim, that I would do so as would be pleasing to you and helpful for our people. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. I mentioned this last week. I want to mention it again. It's my conviction that if the body of Christ would be striving for the truth set before us in chapters 1 and 2, it would set churches on fire in our nation. It would impact the world, change families, communities, states, and those around. I believe that with all my heart. Chapter 2 is critical in God's call on each of our lives. This is chapter 2, the wisdom of the Almighty communicated to the church. And so, and I just want to humble myself to that. I pray you would do the same. God has something to say here. We looked at chapter 1. It talked about church leadership. Titus was to set these things in order, and he went right to church leadership with elders. And that was really contrary to what you hear in so many circles today. He said, I want men as elders leading the church. And then we looked at the qualifications and what he said to Titus, what kind of pastor he needed to be. That was set right there. Last week we looked at older men, younger men. This week we're looking at older women, younger women, and their roles in the body of Christ. Each person is critical. If we are to be all that we've been called to be, each of us are responsible to strive to live out these qualities. In doing so, we'll find, I believe, great freedom and joy for our souls. I like how the psalmist says it in Psalm 119, verse 45, I will walk in freedom, for I have devoted myself to your commandments. I'll walk in freedom because of your word, and I've devoted myself to that. Now, what we're going to talk about today, perhaps God will find you, you know, as his spirit speaks to you, saying, you know, it's a little late for me here. I've taken a path that's not right before God, and I don't know if I can get back. I want to just say to you, there's a God who has arms wide open, right? And he's willing to set your heart right, to set your course straight. It's never too late, never too late. to find our way before God. So what God has given us here in this book of Titus, I believe is pure gold. I really, really believe that. It's the path. It's the path, listen to me, to success and joy in the Christian life. If you want to make a difference in this world, I believe every one of you do, for the glory of the Lord, for the in the gospel of influencing someone toward Christ, there's the formula that's set before us right in this text. Now, I want to say this again. This teaching defies what so many believe, and we're speaking toward women today, and it really defies what many women believe about their roles and what our society embraces and preaches and teaches. It stands in stark opposition to what our culture, for the most part, talks about and the ideals that they hold to. Biblical leadership, the roles of men and women, marriage and sexuality, they've been abandoned by some of the body of Christ. Certainly, the world has little to do with it. Today's word to us, just as last week's was, I believe is a real eye-opener to each of us and how we are to live and strive in striving what we need to be in this world. We teach here a grammatical, historical, contextual interpretation of the Word of God. We strive to know what the author's intent is toward his audience, and then we go from there. That's what we're doing here. Here again is the beauty of expository preaching, verse by verse. We're touching on something today that not many pastors would want to just take as a topical sermon and say, hey, this is what we need to think about. But here we are, and I want to declare to you what the Word of God says. It is the best, and I believe will give us the greatest freedom, the greatest impact, the greatest joy as we go forward. He begins here with older women. Verse 3, older women likewise are to be reverent in their behavior. In addressing the women, the apostle begins with the older women. The exact age of the women is not known. We can't be dogmatic on it. It seems to me that they're past childbearing, that their children are now grown and out of the home. An older woman is, I want you to know, a treasure to a, and you're going to see her role, one of her roles is to teach younger women. She's a treasure there. I'm talking about the kind of women described here. We as a church need to have a growing respect and admiration for these kind of women. They're a blessing and joy and help to the body of Christ. I mentioned last week that I've benefited personally from older men in my life, godly men, men of the Word, men who had a vibrant walk with Christ. I've benefited greatly from those men. But I want you to know, I've also benefited greatly in my own walk with Christ because of godly, beautiful, as God would see them, older women. There's something about them as they follow the Lord. Their lives speak. Now, our society has less and less regard for the elderly, certainly for the unborn, but I believe for the elderly as well. And I want to remind you again just a couple things about older people. They are a treasure, a blessing. In Ephesians 6:2, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. They're older. We are to honor them. There should be respect from us. Paul wrote to Timothy and said this, do not sharply rebuke an older man, but rather appeal to him as a father. And then he goes from there to the younger men as brothers, the older women as mothers, and the younger women as sisters in all purity. And he's saying to Timothy, look, you hold these older men, these older women in high regard. They have a place. And we need, desperately need, older women who are walking with the Lord, with a vibrant walk with Christ, to have an impact ministering here in this place. And we are to treat them with great grace. So here again, but as for you, excuse me, in verse 3 of Titus 2, older women likewise be reverent in their behavior. And I want to speak to that right now. Reverent in behavior, the word translated from the Greek to English, is only used one time in the New Testament. And it has the idea of being priest-like, to be honorable, to be sacred, to be holy. It means to act like a sacred person. Reverent in behaviors is well stated as to what God desires for you. If one is to be this way, one must take some things really seriously, and that's, I believe, one's walk with Christ. I believe it's a basic doctrine. It's a teaching of the Scripture. They must spend time with Jesus, allowing His life and His desire to become theirs. It needs to be that which shapes the soul and is vital. The opposite is to be irreverent in behavior. I've seen women on both sides of this. And ladies, you need to press toward this. This is what God wants in your life. You might say, well, I'm not an older woman, and I'm not going to ask for hands of those who believe they're younger and those who believe they're older. But I will say to this, one day the younger will be older. And the decisions you make today influence what you become. Younger women, we'll get to you in a minute, but make sure you're striving toward these beautiful qualities that God desires. I believe this chapter, these scriptures, these verses are just an absolute gem. I believe they lift up women to an amazing way in seeing the possibilities and how God would desire to have them impact families and church and so forth. Reverent in behavior. Older women, reverent in behavior. They're also, as we read further, they're to be, it says, not malicious gossips, nor enslaved to much wine, teaching what is good. So they need to be careful with words. Malicious gossip. It has the idea of falsely accusing and dividing people without any reason. Gossip is an awful sin. I believe it's one of the least confronted and most dominant sins that goes on in a local body. We seem to turn a blind eye to it. There are other sins we'll step up and say, that's not right. Not often with gossip. It cuts others. It kills relationships. And I want you to know the devil uses it to divide and bring disunity to relationships and to the body of Christ. Churches can be fractured and are split apart by this. Malicious gossiping is destructive and ruinous. It's not just harmful or harmless talk over a cup of coffee. It's character assassination. That's what this is looking at, character assassination. Paul mentioned this in his letter to Timothy, 1 Timothy 3:11. Women must likewise be dignified, not malicious gossips. And on he goes from there. If this is you, I want you to know that you're doing the devil's bidding. That's hard for me to say. Whether this is women or men, to be a malicious gossip is to do the devil's bidding. It is sinful, and God is not pleased. To slander a brother or sister in Christ, to be involved in malicious gossip, is to emulate and imitate the devil himself. He's called the accuser of the brethren in Revelation 12:10. He slanders. He accuses the brethren without fact. That's what he is. This is what Satan does. He's a liar. He's a murderer. He slanders God, and he slanders God's people. This, by the way, is a mark of what will be going on in the last days. 2 Timothy 3:3, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious gossips. That's what we see there. Cannot be that. Must be sober in appetite as well. Again, verse 3, older women likewise are to be reverent in their behavior, not malicious gossips, nor enslaved to much wine, teaching what is good. Must be sober in appetite. Sober in appetite. Enslaved to much wine. You can understand that setting. We've talked about it. The island of Crete was a real producer of wine, and although the Bible never forbids drinking of wine, it does forbid becoming drunk. And we live in a society with access to all kinds of things that can put a salve on something, a band-aid, if you will, on what troubles us but brings no real help. And it often can become enslaving to us. It can become a vice that controls us to the point that our lives revolve around and are controlled by getting the next drink, the next high, the next drug. I've seen the destruction of this in my own family. Be careful with your appetite, all of us. She must be careful in regards to what she takes in, because the opportunity to be enslaved crouches at the door, as it does all of us. Now, her life teaches, and we're going to get to that teaching. She's going to say things. Older women are to speak. They're to teach younger women. But I want you to know, ladies, your life teaches. That which you hold dear to your children, grandchildren, those around you, they pick up on that. So we need to be so careful. All of us do. And then it talks about teaching what is right here. She's to teach what is right, verse 3. Teaching what is good. Ministry is what we are to be involved in. Teach the younger women. Be a powerful example of what it is to walk with Jesus. Not only in words, but in deeds. I can't stress both of those enough. What we do teaches. What you and I do teaches. I see that in my children. Some things that I'm like, where did they get? Oh, I know where they got that. I didn't say it. I lived it. See, we need to be so careful. But what an opportunity. What an opportunity. These younger women are watching what you do, what you say, how you interact with others. These younger women need to be taught the word, and older women, they have the opportunity to do just that. Younger women, if I was a younger woman, which I'm not, if I was a younger man when I was, I would say, get around an older woman. Get around an older woman that's full of grace, who's been there, done that, who has excellent counsel for you, that will listen, and they will. Seek them out. Older women, I believe you're in a unique position to do, to share because of what you've experienced in life, what you've walked through, those pleasant meadows and those deep, dark waters. But teach. Too much idle time is not good for anyone. I think that can become an issue when you get older. Paul addressed that as well in his letter to Timothy, 1 Timothy 5:13 and 14. At the same time, they also, learn to be idle as they go around from house to house, not merely idle, but also gossips, busybodies, talking about things not proper to mention. Therefore, I want younger widows to get married, bear children, in the house, so forth. But it can, idle time. We shouldn't have idle time. We should look at our lives as an offering to God, an opportunity to be used for His glory in those people He set around us. So an undisciplined life leads to a little purpose or good use of one's time or gifting for the Lord and for His people. And we each need what the other has to give. As older women, you have a ministry. You have a ministry to this body of Christ. And this body of believers is better off because of you. And we need you to bring what you bring. Again, I'm one that's benefited greatly, greatly by older women and their walk with the Lord. May you be a blessing. May you take advantage of the great opportunity and the giftedness that you have. Be the blessing God desires you to be. Why? Why? Well, we have the why here, so you can encourage the younger women. Older women should be an example to emulate. Are there any perfect women, older women here today? No. What we need to be, older women, older men, younger women, we need to be the kind of people that own it when we step aside from where God wants us. We don't claim to know all things. If you're to the point where you can't be taught, don't teach anybody. Just keep your mouth shut. You're too full of pride. We need to constantly be learners, and our older women need to be that. Encourage, teach these younger women. Be an example that they can see, who they can see Christ in. So I would ask the question, is your life this kind of life? This kind of example? Are you growing in your relationship with Jesus? Are you thinking beyond your walls, beyond yourself, to those who need an older woman to come beside them? I would encourage you with that. God would encourage you with that. What an influence you can have. And there's a so that in verse 4. What's this about? So that they may encourage the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be sensible, pure, and on it goes. So here you have the younger women, last part of verse 4, and then verse 5, workers at home, kind, and we'll get to those as we go. But this is the next generation. This is the next generation. This is a generation, this younger women, they'll be part of leading and influencing the church, just as the younger men will one day be the same. This generation needs your input. These younger women need to be encouraged in I believe, three areas of life as we look at it here. And I would ask the question, are these areas in life inconsequential? And I would say absolutely not. They're so important. And it begins with relationships. Look at verse 4 again. So that they may encourage the young women to love their husbands, to love their children. Her husband, these older women are not only to teach this, but if they're going to teach us this, they must model it. And what a thing of beauty when this occurs. These younger women are to love, which is a verb. It's something they're to be doing toward their husbands. In marriage, both the husband and the wife are called to love each other. Men are called to love their wives as Christ loved the church. That's a sacrificial love. Women here are called to love their husbands. It's not to be a love that's granted when the other person pleases you, although it makes it a lot easier, but especially when they're not all that they need to be and all that they should be. They're called to love their husbands. She's also called, this younger woman is called to love her children. If God grants you as a couple, the privilege of being a mother, this is a gift from God. It's a great blessing, and it's a great opportunity. Psalm 127, verses 3 through 5. You know, in today's culture, children sometimes are looked at as sort of a ball and chain by younger people to be drug along. They happen to come along, so, you know, this interferes with everything else I want to be doing in life. That's not how God sees this. I believe one of the greatest callings that women have is to be a mom. It is one of the greatest blessings in the world. Look at this. Behold, children are a gift of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. How blessed is a man whose quiver is full of them. They will not be ashamed when they speak with their enemies in the gate. What a blessing. She is to love her children. And what an opportunity. I get a kick out of this. Quite often at our baptism service, I'll be hearing a testimony. And if we have those that are younger, let's say 8, 10, 12 years old, I love to hear their testimonies of how they came to faith. I can't tell you how many times I've heard a testimony where mom was directly involved in leading that child to Christ. I think this year there was one that talked about a bathroom. There have been a lot of kids saved in a bathroom when mom was in there. I just love those testimonies. What an opportunity. What a gift. What a blessing to have that, to watch this child grow and nurture that child and speak into their life and bring them to the point where they see their need for Jesus and are saved. What a great blessing that is. It's so important. These children that you are raising will shape the church. They'll shape the world. And you have a great opportunity with them, really all your life, but especially in the younger years. But she's to love those children. She's to love those children. She's to see those as a gift from God and a blessing, someone that can be used of the Lord to impact the world. So younger women in relationships. This is really important. You are to excel. You're to pursue these qualities in relationships, in thinking as well. God wants the older women to teach the younger women to impact their thinking. Look what it says here. It says they're to love their husbands, to love their children. Verse 5, to be sensible, pure, workers at home, kind, being subject to their own husbands, so that the word of God will not be dishonored. In thinking, sensible has the idea to think and act soberly, discreetly, to use sound judgment and moderation, to be self-disciplined. Both the older and younger women are were to be sensible, sound-minded. Again, this is going to flow out of what you're taking in. There's a ton of, there's so many books out there today. I mentioned how we look at Scripture. You know, there's a lot of teaching out there today that looks at Scripture and say, well, you know, I'm going to bring my experience of life into that word and then kind of try to decipher what that means. There are others that will look at Scripture and a lot of this is in circles where women are writing books on this and so forth. Others will look at it and say, well, you know, this was, some would say of this passage, there was a man that wrote that passage. And so he's coming at it from an influence in that society where men were dominant and kind of held their thumb over women. So we'll dismiss that. I see it that way. We'll dismiss. Whole books written on this. What's the problem? All Scripture is inspired of God. That's the problem. This word was given to the apostle to give to the church. If we dismiss this, where do you stop? Where do you stop? You can't stop. This is God's word to you. If you've got a problem with it, you need to see him. This is the best, by the way. What I'm speaking to you, I believe, is the greatest opportunity for women in the body of Christ, in their families, and in society. These ideals, these qualities to pursue and live out, there's freedom there. There's joy there. So she's to be sensible. She's to be pure. Pure has the idea of morally pure. In this context, I believe it's speaking about being sexually pure. We live in a world today when, hey, having an affair a lot of times is promoted. God would have you think something different. We live in a world where younger women are saying, you know, you're being told, hey, everybody's doing it, why not you? And God would say, Listen, this is your sanctification, that you abstain from sexual immorality. Wait till you're married. And some people would say, that's not even possible today. I would say that's a lie. It's challenging. There are lots of young people holding firmly to the word of God. Young women, you need to be that. You might say it's a little late. I challenge you to get right back walking with the Lord where you need to. There's grace for you. There's forgiveness for you. There's a path forward for you. 1 Peter 3 through 6, there's just two passages that especially jump out to me concerning women. The one is the one we're in. Here's one in 1 Peter 3. Speaking to women, your adornment must not be merely external, braiding the hair, wearing gold jewelry, putting on dresses. He doesn't say you can't do that. He said this can't be all. Your adornment, matter of fact, he goes to where that needs to be. More on the hidden person of the heart inside. Let it be the hidden person of the heart with an imperishable quality of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is precious in the sight of God. For in this way, the former times, the holy women also, and then it goes. That's God set them apart. Verse 6, just as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, and you have become her children if you do what is right without being frightened by any fear. She should not dress in provocative ways. Her speech should be pure, never suggestive of things improper. She should strive toward purity in her own heart and live it out to the glory of God. She's to be pure in her thinking. She's to be sensible. She's to be pure. And then workers at home. There's little regard today for women who follow this admonition. And I realize not all women can. But a home is where mom is there, where she can be used in tremendous ways. But a stay-at-home mom today, how is she regarded in our society? That's all you do? Well, this is a high calling. This is a high, high calling. And the last time I was, if I can remember back when we had children, I didn't want to be home all day taking care of kids. That was a lot of work. but yet there's joy here. It's a high calling. I don't know of a more significant role for a mother than being a mother, the primary caregiver and teacher to the children that he has given. It's a place where she can encourage her and love her husband. It doesn't mean she cannot work out of the home, but her first priority needs to be the home. This also doesn't mean that she has to work her fingers to the bone, but that she oversees the home and makes sure it's taken care of. Why is this important? Why is this important? Well, this is a place that most impacts your family. I remember my home. I remember my home life. There are other things I remember growing up, but it was about the home. And I believe women can have they can impact that in a wonderful, amazing way in attitude and grace and love. It's a high and vital calling. In attitude, a godly or Christ-like attitude, this is where she needs to be as well, and the older women need to teach her that. To be in subject to their own husbands, and then from there, just this kindness as well. She's to be kind and so forth, and these are they mean just that. But then we get to submissiveness, which really tips everybody's boat over these days. A submissiveness here again, it's obvious what it's calling us to do, but I want to remind you just from a scripture here of what it means to be submissive and who it was that was submissive. Wives, Ephesians 5, 22 and 24, be subject to your own husbands as to the Lord. That's key. It's for the glory of the Lord. You're doing this for the Lord. You're subject or submissive to your husband, but it's first and foremost to the Lord. And then it says, the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is also the head of the church, he himself being the Savior of the body. Who was it that did this originally? It was Jesus. Jesus was subject to the Father. And we're all subject to the Lord. So this is dismissed by so many today as being outdated and maybe patriarchal or somebody putting a thumb over you. But as the church is subject to Christ, that's who we're subject to. So also wives ought to be their husbands and everything. And there's a call for men to be a subject or submissive to the roles that God has given them. We're all to do that. And it comes down to this. It comes down to being for the glory of the Lord. That's what it's about. It's for the glory of the Lord. This is the why. Look again in Titus 2, verse 5. So that the word of God will not be dishonored. So that the word of God will not be dishonored. That's what this is about. This is, here's the why. There's the so that. Why are older women to be godly women who engage and encourage the younger women? Why are the younger women to pursue these qualities? Well, this is how God is honored. This is about his name. Dishonored means to blaspheme or defame. When women are fulfilling their God-ordained roles, God is pleased. He's honored. We lift up his word and his name. The outworking of that is felt in our families. Family was, again, not man's idea. It was God's. And I'm getting a little long here, so I'm not going to go to those scriptures. But family was ordained of God. Marriage was ordained of God. And we need to embrace those things, just like we need to embrace this here. I don't need to remind you that families are under attack today. They certainly are. The redefining of marriage, sexuality, gender, the list goes on. It's becoming rare to find biblical marriages and families that are functioning as they should. Listen, as a family goes, so goes the nation. Ladies, you have an amazing, amazing value to God. And you have an opportunity to build something beautiful. Build something you will not regret. You have a high calling. His calling on your lives, I believe, is the highest calling you could ever have. The church is desperate for these kind of women. So is our society. So is the world. You may look at this and say, wow, you know, I don't think God has a very high value on women. And I would say just the opposite is true. This is incredible. This is amazing. What God has designed you to be and given you the opportunity to live out for His great name, for the good of those around you, for the influence of nations. And I finish with this thought. Women, step up and be who God has called you to be. That's going to take some humbling. It always does. No matter what our role is, no matter what God calls men to be, what He calls women to be, we must bend the knee, bend our hearts, bend our will to what He's called us to be. Let's pray. Loving Father, I thank You for this amazing word. We're doing a battle here this morning. There are those that they're hearing what the world is saying, and the world is saying something very different here. They're hearing what some churches who do not hold firmly to the Word of God are saying, and they hold something very different than what is listed here. I thank You for the women that are in this congregation. They are precious. They are needed. We could not function to any degree without them. I pray You would use them, Father, as you would be pleased. I pray that they would be able to grasp and embrace what is before them here. And Father, for the men as well, You laid out what Your call was on our lives last week. I pray that if we've been waffling or sort of setting that aside and Your Spirit has been saying You need to step up, that we would. And allow these women the same. I pray that we would be the people You've called us to be for Your glory, for Your honor, for the beauty of Your Son. And we ask in Jesus' name, amen. You're dismissed.